an antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, very grateful that you have taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we're thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You're welcome to go to our website at agradio.org. All these podcasts are there for you for download for free. Our Friday session of Abounding Grace, where we discuss current issues in Christianity, and we have for the past few weeks been talking about the issue of worship. And again, we're privileged to have with us Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And maybe just to get the discussion going again today on Abounding Grace, I want to read something, Mike, that was stated by David Wells in his book, The Courage to be Protestant. And this is a really good book that deals with a lot of the pressures that we face today in Christianity and considering what worship is and what God has defined for us as our need. And we'll start there and work into the issue of worship. But he says something really interesting. The needs sinners have are needs God identifies for us. And the way we see our needs is rather different from the way that he sees them. No, the product we will naturally seek will not be the gospel. It will be a therapy of some kind, a technique for life, perhaps a way of connecting more deeply with our own spiritual selves on our own terms, terms that require no repentance and no redemption. It will not be the gospel. And then he says this, the gospel cannot be a product that the church sells because there are no consumers for it. When we find consumers, we will find that what they're interested in buying on their own terms is not the gospel. Now, Mike, how does that relate to worship? When we come to worship, we talked about last time, who's defining what? What are we doing? What is this about? Maybe you can comment a little bit in light of Wells' quote there.
Yeah, I think that one thing we have to constantly keep in mind when we think about the worship service is that we are coming to be served by God. Now, that might seem a little strange to us because there is a sense in which we serve God in worship. We offer to God acceptable worship. We come with reverence and awe, as Hebrews 12 tells us. We worship him in spirit and truth, as Jesus told us in John 4. But what we have to keep in mind is that God also serves us through these means that he knows we need. I think Wells really hits it on the head there when he talks about how God knows what his people need for nourishment, need for help, and we being sinners, we have a flawed idea of what it is that we need. So the Lord still, even as he did in the upper room, when he set aside his garments and girded himself and washed the feet of his disciples, he continues to do that every Sunday when he gathers together his covenant community and he descends to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Through these means, he has promised to bless the preaching of his word and the administration of his sacraments. Those are the means he has given us for our spiritual nourishment. And I always think of what God says in Isaiah chapter 55, where he says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. You know, the truth is, Chris, we always think we know what we want and what will satisfy us, what we need. And the truth is, it never satisfies. God knows what we need, and it's the bread that comes from heaven, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to us primarily in the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments.
You know, you expose there two kind of mentalities. And I guess, you know, thinking about that John 13 passage, this is really hard for us to accept, Mike. You know, when Peter heard that, you know, there off in the corner was the towel and the water and the basin. And you know, somebody needed to get up and go do what needed to be done to have their feet washed. And nobody wanted to do it. And it was interesting, as Jesus gets up, he transforms himself before them into that of a servant. And he stoops down and washes their feet. And Peter won't accept that. And I think that's a really good way to think about worship today, that often people are approaching worship with the single great question coming, thinking, what am I offering to God? Remember, Peter said, you don't need to wash my feet. Assumption being, I need to wash yours. What are we offering to God rather than what do we need as sinners? We are beggars, if you will. We have a great need when we come before the Lord in worship. And that's why we're discussing here on Abounding Grace today, where we left off last time, the issue of the regulative principle of worship and the elements of worship, things that God has put in place that we can't tamper with. And the thing that we're going to focus in here now a little bit on Abounding Grace today is the one element that is central in our worship. And I guess I say this, Mike, saying that the Word of God is central in everything that we do. But we're going to talk a little bit here now about the importance of preaching in worship and why the preaching of the gospel is so important, why we need that, what preaching is, why the Lord has put this in place for us. And maybe you can begin and launch us into that discussion. And we have a lot of places to go with this today on Abounding Grace.
Yeah, well, the preaching of the word is what is central. I can't help but think of one of the main catechisms that came out of the Protestant Reformation, the Westminster Larger Catechism, in its question and answer 155, when it describes how the Holy Spirit makes the word effectual to salvation. Because, you know, Chris, I would imagine some of our listeners think, well, I can read my Bible at home. That's effective. And certainly there is benefit in personal devotions, or I can listen to something on the radio, or I can do a lot of different studies with other people with the Bible. But there is nothing like hearing the Word of God exposited through a person who has been set apart and ordained for that purpose, in which the person and work of Christ is central. That is the means that God has promised to bless. And so the Westminster Larger Catechism puts it like this: the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means, listen to this, of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners, of driving them out of themselves and drawing them unto Christ, of conforming them to His image and subduing them to His will, of strengthening them against temptations and corruptions, of building them up in grace and establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. What a full answer. And, you know, these guys got it back in the 17th century. We need to be driven out of ourselves, don't we? We're so narcissistic. We're so full of ourselves. We need to be drawn unto Christ. We need to be pulled out of these selfish, dark caves that we want to live in, where we worship our idols, where we're listening to all the voices that are telling us, all the voices from this culture that are telling us how we ought to live and how we can pursue the good life. But it's the preaching of God's word that kind of rocks our world each Sunday, gives us a reality check, and actually is the thing that the Holy Spirit uses to conform us more into the image of Christ.
Right, that's really helpful. Bringing us out of ourselves. You know, it's interesting that the kind of preaching, Mike, that we listen to and we study, that even Christ gave in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, after he was done, we read that the people understood that he spoke with an authority, unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. It was different. And I think this really strikes at something that's a challenge for us today. And it's not just any kind of preaching. I think we approach the worship service, and like Mike already referenced, we have this issue of thinking that we just need some kind of therapy. Wells makes this this statement, a technique for life. He says, a way of connecting more deeply with our own spiritual selves on our own terms. And I think that's just what's happened today. I think that's a complete accurate portrayal of modern day preaching, that we come and it's just to build up basically our own self-esteem. You know, it's interesting, Mike, that as we go through the scriptures, there was a conscious effort on the part of the apostles in their preaching to be specific in preaching Jesus Christ. Now, you know, Paul would say this constantly, woe is me if I do not preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So there was this constant effort, and I'm always amazed, you know, the kind of sermons in Acts that we see are nothing like the sermons we hear today. You know, it was almost the first sermon in Acts, Mike, was a stringing together of Old Testament passages to do one great thing. And the great purpose was to show how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the scriptures, is the fulfillment of all the promises made to Abraham, and how he has brought salvation full and free through his redemptive work in giving his life, dying on the cross, rising the third day, and now being seated on the throne, and now that gospel power is going out to the ends of the earth. There was something they understood when they preached about this, what Paul calls dynamite, by which God saves. I think we have to totally recover that today. Am I wrong in saying that? You know, what are your thoughts, Mike?
Well, yeah, I agree. It's sadly, I think a lot of what passes for preaching today is topical messages that are sometimes a little more than self-help or therapy with Jesus attached to them. A lot of stories, a lot of illustration, which isn't bad in itself. We definitely need to illustrate, and there can be a place for a helpful story that illustrates a point in preaching. But oftentimes, what's lost in what passes for a sermon today in much of evangelicalism is the person and work of Christ being central. And this is, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Chris, with the preaching in Acts. When you go through the book of Acts, what do you constantly find in the sermons that are recorded there? You find them not preaching themselves, not preaching Jesus as your helper or your therapist or your life coach, but rather the person of Christ in Jesus of Nazareth, this man who has been raised from the dead. He is the promised one, the champion that God said would come to crush the serpent's head, the one who has come as the offspring of Abraham, the true heir of David, the second Adam, the true Israel. He has fulfilled all of the prophecies. He has satisfied the demands of God's law. He was crucified for our sins, was baptized under the wrath of God, and has now been raised again from the dead in power. That's their message. And so when we preach, what we want to preach is Christ from all the scriptures. And we call that redemptive historical preaching, which is simply Christ from the whole Bible. And we assume that the scriptures are not a collection of timeless principles in abstract, but rather a coherent record of progressive revelation that tells the story of God redeeming a people for himself through the person and work of Christ, his son. And it takes seriously Christ's admonition to the Pharisees, who missed the whole point of the story when he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me."
Well, thanks, Mike, for those comments. We're going to come back to this discussion next week. But what a wonderful thing to consider on the importance of worship and what needs to be recovered today. We thank you for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. We are a listener-supported program, and we would love to hear from you. So do write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.